For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Thursday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in, from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing good. We got some football news. We got some playoff basketball. We got baseball. Hockey's in full swing. It's a good time to be a sports fan, Arash.
Exactly. A lot happening here. Let me see where to start. I do want to start with the Mavericks Thunder series, because we've been talking about that. And I've been joking about this for a little while, but it really is true. I mean, this Mavericks Thunder series has played out very much like your Clippers Mavericks series. And I do believe it'll probably end in the same fashion, with the Mavericks clinching at home in game 6. The Thunder had a chance, in game 5. But yeah, I think the one thing that's really stood out in this series is experience, is youth, is that, listen, this Thunder team is ahead of schedule. They're a very good team, obviously, one of the best teams in the league. But there was at no point during this postseason, or certainly not during the regular season, where I said I could see this team in the finals. I could see this team giving the Celtics a run for their money. I thought, best case scenario for them, obviously, if they got all the way to the conference finals. It does seem like, and again, we'll see how this all plays out. It's not over yet, but it does seem like this is trending in the direction of the Mavericks very much following the same script that they did in round one against the Clippers. What have you seen from this series, and do you believe this is done in game 6?
Yeah, I think the Mavericks will wrap it up here in game 6. They just looked like the more experienced team. And I know that they have, a lot of guys that have not really been in the playoffs before, but they still have guys that have been there. Kyrie Irving has won a championship. Luka Doncic has been in the playoffs, albeit he's only, 23, 24, 25 years old. Wow. He's been in the playoffs now 4 times. So he's been in some of these scenarios already. I think the key for the Mavericks, Arash, was Luka Doncic playing well. He actually had one of his better games of the playoffs, much like we saw in game 5 against the Clippers, where he had 35. He had a 31-point triple-double. Whenever you get a 31-point game from Luka Doncic, regardless of the assists and rebounds, you're going to have a good chance to win. It looked like the Mavericks were just flowing better on offense. Their defense was swarming. Like you mentioned, it looks like almost identical to the Clippers' first-round series. I don't know what the issue is with that. I don't know why we're taking the exact same route here, but it literally is playing out the exact same way. Of course, the Clippers got blown out in their game 5 at home, but the Thunder kind of stayed a little bit closer than that. For the Thunder, you hit it right on the head. I mean, it's just experience. They just look like the team that is young, ahead of schedule, like you mentioned. They were never supposed to be the one seed. They were never supposed to be this close to the conference finals. A lot of people had them losing in the first round to the Pelicans or whoever they would have played. So for the Thunder, look, I mean, for them to take it even to this point, I'm actually pretty surprised. I think what they did at the trade deadline, though, Arash, the Thunder is hurting them right now. They had the ability to go get a big and some athleticism and guys to match up with teams like Dallas and Denver, and they just didn't do it. And I really don't understand why. I know Sam Presti loves his draft picks more than probably his own children, but you know, he should have traded a few of those draft picks to get somebody to match up with some of these bigger teams in the West, because that's, you know, that's what's going on here in the new NBA. It keeps flipping like every 5 years, I feel like, where you go from big, you know, center to center twin towers type of players to then small ball. And now we're back to this physical tall lineup type style of basketball in the NBA. And the Thunder were just never gonna match up with that. They got Bismack Biyombo, but that was never going to help. He hasn't even played. Chet Holmgren, he has really not been the same guy that we saw in the regular season either. He is looking kind of like the third, maybe even fourth option on this team. And for a guy that I thought could average 20-plus points per game, you know, it's just been kind of disappointing. On the defensive end, he's been fine. But I think Dallas now has, of course, they have the advantage in this series, but I think they can finish it out at home. I think they remember what happened in Game 4, and they're going to take that into Game 6 and finish it out there in 6. And look, it's going to set up a fantastic conference finals with whoever comes out of that Nuggets-Wolves series.
Yeah, and we'll touch on that series. The other series that came to a close, not surprising there. We predicted it, the Celtics beating the Cleveland Cavaliers by 15, closing out that series in 5. We kind of touched on, you know, the Celtics are really looking at maybe the easiest pathway towards the NBA Finals in recent history. You know, when whether it's the Knicks or the Pacers, and it's looking like it's probably going to be the Knicks, you're going up against a team that is not healthy, a team that wasn't expected to be there. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the Celtics finished about, you know, 13, 14 or whatever games ahead of the number two seed. So no shock that they have basically a cakewalk to get to the finals. The question is, who are they going to play in the West? So as we've mentioned, we could see the Mavericks close out their series at home against the Thunder in Game 6. Denver, Minnesota, that is the one that I think everyone's very excited about. You have the Timberwolves winning the first two games in Denver. Since then, they've lost 3 straight. I do believe the Timberwolves tonight, by the way, are favored by 2.5, that they are going to find a way to win this, extended to a Game 7. Again, the only thing I care about is seeing a couple of Game 7s here, Grant. And I do think the Timberwolves don't lose 4 straight. I do believe that they'll have some pride, find a way to win one game at home, following dropping 2 straight at home. Your thoughts on Game 6 here tonight and Game 7? I mean, it all comes down to that one game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you. I think the Wolves are going to win Game 6. I just think that they've been close in some of these losses. Like, I know they've lost 3 in a row, but they've been pretty close in a few of these losses. So I know they got blown out in one of those. But Anthony Edwards, besides Game 5, in Game 4, he was fantastic. I mean, he had 43 points. The key for the Timberwolves is getting the other guys involved. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns has kind of been a no-show after those first two games. And that was the reason why they were up 2-0, is because Karl-Anthony Towns was putting up 18 to 20-plus points per game. And he looked like he got injured a little bit after that Game 5, and that's a little bit concerning. I mean, I'm going to look to see if he's healthy, if he's running right, if he's defending okay, because they really need a secondary scoring option besides Anthony Edwards. He can't do it all by himself. Yeah. And Rudy Gobert has, I mean, look, there's been a lot of narrative this week about Rudy Gobert and how bad he has looked against Nikola Jokic. He really isn't doing that bad of a job defensively. It's just Nikola Jokic. Like, there's only so much you can do. So I think for Minnesota, I don't know why they went away from this, Arash, because in the first two games of the series, they were picking up Jamal Murray full court. They're picking up Aaron Gordon full court when he had the ball. They were hounding Nikola Jokic, and they kind of just went away from that for whatever reason. I don't know Maybe they couldn't sustain it. Maybe they got fatigued doing that. But that really caused issues for Denver. I would like to see them go back to it if they want to win the series, because that really, that was like the most aggravated I've seen the Denver Nuggets in those first two games. And I just haven't seen that type of defensive intensity from Minnesota since then. So, look, I know that Minnesota is a very talented team. They have shown flashes of inexperience here and there in these past three games. But I think for Denver, they're playing on such an elite level that I can't really take the Wolves over them in this series. Now, I do think Minnesota, like I said, will take game six. But I do have Denver winning the series in seven. And going back to Denver for Minnesota, this is why game five was so crucial. Because you're at home, you have a chance to go up 3-2. And now you're down. You have to win two in a row against one of the better teams in the NBA that we've seen in the past 2 years. That's never ideal. So for Minnesota, you have to get more production out of Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm assuming Mike Conley is going to play, so that's a good benefit for them. And for Rudy Gobert, he has to be a better presence on offense. Defensively, he's been doing just fine. It's just Nikola Jokic. But on offense, they got to get him and Karl-Anthony Towns more involved.
Switching gears here, the NFL schedule was released yesterday, last night. Again, that in terms of the league really trying to find a way to make everything a big event, whether it's the draft, whether it's the combine. Now the schedule over the past couple of years has become a big event where teams release, you know, these videos and there's TV shows about it. By the way, Sean McVay absolutely killed it. I thought it was hilarious. I don't know whether he's trying to audition for a TV job, but really had a lot of fun talking about his temporary office, which has been a temporary office since the Rams moved to Los Angeles back in 2016. And obviously since he got hired in 2017, they will be at some point this year moving to Woodland Hills. That facility is not done. And they may be in a temporary facility in Woodland Hills while they build up that new one, but basically joking that there's no windows in his office. And so, but Grant, we finally got the schedule. Again, we knew who the opponents would be, but the reason that this is such a big day is you see how the schedule pans out. You see the number of primetime games and the back-to-back road games and things like that. The Rams get four primetime games here. I think it's a good schedule. I think let's get your initial thoughts and then kind of go through it.
Yeah, I think it's obviously going to be tough. The Rams always play good competition. They're going to be playing the Raiders, the Eagles, the Packers. I mean, the first five games for them before their bye, I was kind of upset that their bye is in week six.
Yeah.
I would love to see it week eight or week 10, because remember, Raj, we were talking about it last year, right before their bye. I was like, look, they needed this bye at the right time, and they got it at the right time. And after that bye week, they went on one of their better runs of the season and finished out the season strong and made the playoffs. So it kind of sucks to see that the bye is in week six, but those first five games are not easy. I mean, you got to play Chicago in Chicago. You got to play Green Bay. You got to play Detroit at Detroit week one on Sunday Night Football. That's obviously not easy. I do think the Rams are going to get that one, Arash, but we'll get into that later. But they do play, like you said, four primetime games. I mean, that's, what, two more than they had last year? I think they had two Thursday night games. Or actually, one Monday night, one Thursday night last year. So obviously, the league thinks that they're going to be a better team. I think they're going to be a better team. It does suck that two of those primetime games are Thursday night games. That means you get a short week, and one's coming out. You go and play Buffalo, and then you have to come back and play the Vikings. So it's kind of tough to play Buffalo and Minnesota on a short week. But look, any primetime games for the Rams I love, because they get to showcase their talent. And I think this team has the ability to be a 12-plus win team. I know a lot of people think that, oh, the loss of Aaron Donald is going to get to them. But they restacked in the offseason, and they stacked up in the draft. And I think this team is primed for a really, really bounce-back year, back to their, like, Super Bowl contention days. So while the schedule is tough, Arash, like, this is a team that can sustain it, and this is a team that now has depth to sustain it.
You touched on it. So let's go over kind of like briefly broad strokes here. They begin the season at Detroit, a Sunday night football game. Fantastic to get that spotlight, because that was a great playoff game, a wild card playoff game. And again, Detroit goes all the way to the conference championship game a year ago, but they Their run could have been stopped short by the Rams, who very nearly defeated the Lions in Detroit in that wild card playoff game a year ago. So, and then they go to the Cardinals. So they begin the season with two straight road games. Then they play San Francisco at home, looking for a their first regular season win against San Francisco at SoFi. And then they go on the road September 29th to Chicago. So let's stop there, Grant. First two games on the road, first three of the four games on the road. Your thoughts there? Again, not ideal, I guess, if you want to have a solid start. I mean, these are, when I say very winnable games, like I wouldn't be concerned about this team if they are, for example, 2-2.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Look, last year they started 3-6 and ended 10-7. So yeah. Like they have the ability to go on a run. And, you know, when you're playing Detroit, the team that knocked you out the year before, as your first game, like that gives you extra juice. I mean, especially for Matthew Stafford, if anyone listening has watched that documentary that they had on the Rams from last year, I think it was called, I don't know what it was called, but they had basically like a Matthew Stafford feature that they released in the offseason. It was fantastic content, and you could see how much it hurt him to lose to that Detroit team. I mean, the emotions going in, the emotions coming out of that, you know, getting beat up in that game, losing to those, to that team, the team that traded you and the team that you wanted that get back against. I know it really hurt him. So I know that Matthew Stafford is going to be up for that one. But in terms of the road home thing, I don't mind it. It kind of, it tests your team early and shows that, hey, if we can win on the road for the first couple games, if we can take three of the four on the road in the first five games, you know, that shows the test of a true contender. And I think it just builds character when you play on the road early, because, you know, you have to just be, you're kind of just thrown right into the fire, especially for a team that wants to contend. You have to have these types of games where you pull things out. So while the first home game is against the 49ers, I'm not as afraid as a Rams fan of the 49ers as I was in the past. I'm just not. This team has the ability to contend. They basically contended with the Niners last year. I mean, I know week 18 was a little bit of a fluke because nobody was playing. But even in week 2, I believe it was last year, the Rams put up a great fight against the 49ers. And they almost beat them at home. And that was with no pressure, nothing against them. So these first five games, it is a tough schedule. Like even the Chicago Bears, Arash, like they're not going to be an easy team to beat. Like they have Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen. Like they have a good team now. So I don't think any team in even the Arizona Cardinals, you got to go play the Arizona Cardinals on the road. Those are always good games. I know the Rams have owned them in the past, but I mean, the Cardinals are not a team that you can sleep on either, Arash. Like these first five games are tough.
No doubt about it. And then again, when you begin a season like that, then there's sort of a period where you're home for a while. So they got the bye week, October 20th at home against Las Vegas, at home the following, actually 4 days later, Thursday night football. That's a prime video game, at home against the Vikings. Short trip up to Seattle November 3rd to play the Seahawks, and then a home game again against the Dolphins. So I think that's where they get their breath there, Grant, where they're basically home for four of the next 5 weeks. And then they got, you know, a short trip up to Seattle. That's where I think if they kind of put themselves in a position to get to what you're saying is a potential 12-win season, that's where they will, again, if they start the season slow, they'll make up for it during that stretch.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the Rams have had such a good home field advantage. I know that a lot of people think that they don't, but every time I'm at Rams games, and I go to almost every single one of them, when it's not a team that has a huge fan base like the Cowboys or the Niners, the Rams fill that crowd, and it's a very good home crowd. I've been to plenty of Rams games at SoFi. So when you're at home, they play very well. I went to the Thursday night game against the Saints last year, where it was kind of a battle for that last wild card spot, and it felt like a playoff game. So this Rams team and that little middle of the season stretch, that's what kind of hurt them last year, right? Because I always thought that the Rams could be a very good team last year, and they went through that really bad stretch without Kyren Williams in the middle of the season where they just, I mean, they fell to 3-6. They lost three in a row, I believe, after that. And then it kind of went on a run. So for this Rams team, I think you can learn a little bit from last year. Like, these guys, I know they're young, like Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, they understand what's at stake now. Like, last year was just an introduction, but this middle of the season, they can learn from last year and say, hey, we did not perform when it mattered in the middle of the season. And the middle of the season is kind of an underrated part of these schedules, because that's kind of where teams can really fall off a cliff or kind of boost themselves, like you mentioned, into that 9-10 win range. So to have four of the five after that bye week at home, that's really crucial for the Rams.
Let's close out here. Last 90 seconds. I mean, what's a successful season? Again, I think if they win more than 10 games, it's a successful season. It doesn't seem yet, Grant, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this is a win or it's not a successful season. This is not like the Super Bowl season where all the chips are at the center of the table. Listen, if they're contending for the division, if they're back in the playoffs, what's a successful season for this team?
I think a successful season is probably making the playoffs. You got to make the playoffs, especially with this roster. I think the expectation, Arash, is that this team can win a Super Bowl. And I know that I may be saying that, you know, a little prematurely, but with the roster that they have now and the draft that they had, I think they can really be a contender. Look, the NFC is way weaker than the AFC. The AFC is loaded, stacked. The NFC has taken a little bit of a fall off. So I think if the Rams can capitalize on some of these early games, stay healthy, I think that's the biggest thing. That's why they invested so much in the offensive line. Making the playoffs should be the baseline. Mm-hmm. You should be thinking way bigger than that, because they had a chance. If they beat the Lions last year, Rosh, I think they could have maybe even made the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. And that's with a team that nobody had any expectations with. So I think it's the baseline playoffs. You don't have to win the division. You never, because the Niners are probably going to win the division. But if you just get to the playoffs and let the chips fall where they may, I mean, especially you're playing with house money, you won a Super Bowl already with Stafford, just go for it. I think they have the ability to do that.
Yeah, and I just love the way that they put together this team. And again, if they get to the trade deadline, once again, as we remember a couple of years ago during the Super Bowl season, they will go for it. But they have really put together a fantastic team. Grant, you're the best. We'll have you back on tomorrow. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Fredo Cervantes talking about the WNBA and the Sparks first game of the season. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clam with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome into the show from the Sporting Tribune, Fredo Cervantes. Fredo, how are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Arash, how are you doing today, sir?
I am good. Listen, you've been killing it so far. I kind of want to go down the list of some of the stuff you've been covering. You were at the Pyramid in Long Beach last night for the Sparks' first regular season game of the season. It was a who's who out there. Kim Kardashian was there, and we'll talk about what you thought when she was there. Give me your sense of, I mean, you've been covering the league for a while. I mean, there is more attention around the WNBA than there has been in a long time, perhaps since they began the league. What was the like scene like at the Pyramid?
I mean, first of all, the Pyramid is not the Sparks' original home, which made it kind of a little different. You know, last season, they actually played a few games at the Galen Center as well. You know, it just seems like it's just hard for them to try to even get some fans at Crypto. But I believe that was last season, because this season, the LA Sparks have sold out a lot of season tickets this season. There's like double the amount of season ticket holders for the Sparks this upcoming year. And, you know, talking about how the league has transformed, even just from last season to this season. And a lot of people don't want to give Kaylin Clark too much credit, but she deserves the credit. I mean, she's just spectacular. I mean, I can't wait. Kaylin Clark will be here in Los Angeles next Friday night at Crypto.com Arena. So that's going to be epic out here. But Kaylin Clark, I mean, that's why the reason I'm not sure how you looked at it, Arash, like seeing how now they have charter traveling and flights. And why did that not that didn't happen 20 some years prior to until what? Kaylin Clark joined the league. So it seems like she does have a lot to do with the movement. But at the same time, the league was already amazing. I mean, you had Asia Wilson, back-to-back MVP, back-to-back champion as well. You just have, you know, Taurasi still in the league, you know, Neko Gumike, Brittany Griner's back. So the league has always been here, but it's just a different feeling right now, Raj. I mean, we got a chance to feel it last night at the Pyramid, even though there was only 5,000 fans out there, but it was sold out. I mean, every single seat was taken. It was a great atmosphere, but it did not turn out the way the Sparks wanted to. You know, they dropped the game 92-81. But there was a lot of good things you can take away if you were, you know, with the Sparks. You look at what they were able to put out there. They just looked so different. I mean, you look at now the leadership from De'Erica Hamby. She's taking that role. She's very vocal during practices, during games. And she's technically the team mom. Every single player in there, they give a shout out to De'Erica. They're like, she is our team mom in here. Like, she's not that mean mom, but she's like that nice stepmom that you would kind of have early on. And, you know, it's just been that type of environment and vibe with this group of people. Even, you know, a veteran like Kia Nurse, who was out for with an ACL injury when she was with Seattle, and Seattle just kind of gave up on her, and the Sparks were able to pick her up. But as well, you know, people got to give a lot of credit to the new general manager for the Sparks, Reagan Peebly. She's done a remarkable job in flipping this team from last season to this season, and not just like within players in the team, but around the organization, everything behind the scenes, everything that's going on. Like, I felt like if I was covering a different team from last season, but in a good way. You know, it's just it's a very good thing to see. And Magic Johnson being present as well last night, and he didn't just stay for the first quarter, second quarter. He was there for four quarters, all the way to the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, very much a who's who. I mean, not only was Kim Kardashian there, again, they had the partnership with Skims that was announced prior to the season. Cameron Brink is one of, like, the main people in those commercials. But, yeah, Magic Johnson's there. And, again, he's always been a part of the team, but he's not always courtside for the entirety of the game. So give me that sense. When you saw both of them, I guess Kim Kardashian in particular, because I don't know if you guys got a heads up that she would be there. What was the atmosphere and scene like when one of the biggest celebrities in the world is sitting courtside?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, every single fan out there, if you can get all 5,000 people that were trying to make a line to go ahead and see her, you get an up close shot. Thankfully, we had a very close shot of her. And, you know, she was just amazing. She was very, very nice to everyone that came around her. You know, she also had her daughter, Northwest, which was an amazing moment during, like, the break between the first quarter and the second quarter. Normally the Sparks, you know, during the timeouts, they go and start throwing t-shirts into the crowd, and they got Northwest, Kim Kardashian's daughter, to come out to the court. She's out there tossing t-shirts. They're just enjoying the vibe. And, you know, when someone like that, that's that type of person that's just around you, it just makes the whole thing just a lot different and amazing.
Okay, so the hype around this season is amazing. I think we're both of the same mindset that this will be a good season for the Sparks, but not a great season. They're not expected to be a playoff team. What is your expectation for the team this year? Again, very young team. They had two of the top four picks in Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson. That being said, not a lot of veteran players have come back. What would be a successful season for the Sparks?
You know, honestly, and this was a conversation pregame around with all the media members there. And, you know, I was having a conversation with John W. Davis from the Southern California News Group. And, you know, he was like, well, look, they won 17 games last season. And I was predicting, I'm like, I can see the Sparks maybe winning at least a minimum of 23 games this season.
Okay.
I can definitely see that. And it's a 6-game difference. But why do I say that? And I feel very confident in that is because last season, they went through a tough stretch of a 9-game losing streak in the middle of July. And during that time, Lexi Brown was out with her health issue. Leisha Clarendon, who was the lead point guard, was out as well. Jordan Canada, she missed a few games. She was like the leader of that group last season alongside Neko Gumike. But there was a lot of injuries, a lot of just so much mixture between the rotations that you can kind of see. Even at one point, Kurt Miller was like, look, I've had like 20 different lineups already. I have no other options. And he's doing the best that he could. And there was so much going on last season that this season, Cameron Brink will be a difference maker. Even though last night she was not the perfect Cameron that they wanted to, because she did foul out, only played 20 minutes, did score about 11 points, 4 assists, and only grabbed 2 rebounds, which is not much for someone like her. But I feel that Rekia Jackson, Leisha Clarendon, you know, shout out to Leisha last night, first career triple-double, 11, 10, and 10 for Leisha Clarendon. And Kia Nurse, I believe Kia Nurse is a player they did not have last season. And they didn't have a full healthy Lexi Brown, because prior to Lexi going out last season after the first 10 games, she was in the conversation to kind of be an all-star for the first time in her career. She was just shooting the ball terrific. And, you know, this year, the development of Zaya Cook as well. Zaya was the first round pick for the Sparks last season. And, you know, she's kind of coming around, learning both sides of the ball, which, you know, Kurt Miller talked about, saying that, you know, now she's focused more on the defensive side of the ball, which is only going to help her offense when she gets out there and starts playing rough. But, you know, this season, like I said, 23, maybe 24 games, but I do see a much better team than last season.
One more question about the Sparks. Again, I in past years, they have done this. Maybe it's a scheduling thing. Again, the Lakers, Clippers, and Kings all made the postseason this year, and I'm sure they all thought that they would be playing in the second round. Why, again, thankfully, they're moving the game against the Fever with Caitlin Clark to Crypto.com Arena. By the way, Fredo, it'd be amazing if that place was packed, and I think it might be.
It should be.
Why did they begin the season at the Pyramid? Again, no shame in that. Again, 5,000 people, the fact that it's packed was great. Was that done because of all the teams made the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, that was the initial thought right there. You just said it. You know, they expected these other three teams to make it past the first round. At least maybe they thought the Clippers would make it. But, yeah, you know, the Clippers, I mean, they were probably the most favorite out of all three teams to go a little further than anybody else. But they were also going through some renovations. For the past seasons, they've been doing a lot of renovations around there. The Chick Hearn room got a little smaller. they made some nice seats up right above that area there in the 200 section. They got some nice kind of like standing room area now, like more of a kind of like a suite kind of lookalike. But there was a few renovations, but on top of it was the scheduling with the NBA and the NHL. So now that all three teams got eliminated, now they were able to move certain things, but they were not able to move the first two games. That's what they did mention. They were, because they already made certain commitments that they couldn't get out of. So they had to go ahead and continue playing the two games at the Pyramid, which the next one would be this upcoming Tuesday. And then they'll go ahead and open up the season at Crypto on Friday night against the Indiana Fever.
Fredo, what were the Kings playoff games like? I've often told people, you know, back in 2012 and 2014 when they won the Cups, I mean, that may have been the loudest I heard Staples Center. Again, it's round one, but I think this was your first time covering the Kings in the playoffs. What were those games like?
I mean, the environment, I mean, it was something that I've never experienced before, because first of all, I feel that it's too cold in there. Okay. I feel like we got to do something about that. I mean, they got to put a glass up in the media press box upstairs or something, but it's too cold. But I mean, it's I mean, the hockey fans is something different. Like, I figured that the NFL fans were just like crazy and nuts when they go out there. And even how can you sit out there in the snow game when it's snowing out there? Like, if you're in Buffalo or somewhere in the East Coast. But I mean, yeah, the atmosphere with the NHL hockey, LA Kings, you know, they got a big fan base. That's one thing I did learn. Sometimes they're not out there really supporting, but when they come out in support for the LA Kings.
Yeah, no, it was fun to watch. I mean, hopefully they can get past this hump. I mean, like Edmonton every year.
Yes, 3 years in a row.
3 years in a row. All right, switching gears, the NFL schedule finally came out. Want to focus while we have you on to talk about the Chargers. Again, first game of the season is at SoFi Stadium against Las Vegas. That'll be a packed crowd for that. And then, Fredo, they go on the road for 2 weeks. They go to Carolina, they go to Pittsburgh, and then they have a home game against the Chiefs, and then the bye. Again, two thoughts on that. The back-to-back road games, not ideal, and also the bye comes a little bit sooner than you'd like. I mean, ideally, you'd like that bye to come maybe like in November. But your thoughts on the Chargers schedule, what were your big initial thoughts when you saw it?
I mean, I wasn't surprised with the opening matchup against the Raiders. That just seems like it's always going to be. I mean, they did this 2 seasons ago as well when they opened up against the Raiders at SoFi, and the Chargers took that one as well. But seeing like the rotation with the Panthers and the Steelers out there being out in the East Coast, and you know, the new environment with this team, Jim Harbaugh has really kind of turned it around in a way where, you know, San Diego fans and now LA fans have never really seen this team before like this, and seeing the changes that the organization has done, even with the GMs, the coaching, and a lot of these players, you know, you no longer see a Keenan Allen, you no longer see a Mike Williams who's been with this team for Keenan's been here for almost 12 years, and you know, just now seeing the new faces. And one thing you got to give Jim is, you know, going after Joe Alt. I mean, that was a move that he always looks out for his offensive lines, and being able to make that move there and not go for Malik Nabers and not go for that flashy wide receiver lets you know how much he really cares about protecting Justin Herbert, because the way Justin Herbert finished the season last year getting hurt, and you know, the previous season with his ribs, he needs some protection out there. But getting the Steelers in week 3, then getting the Chiefs at home, which is, this is an early game, because the past 3 seasons they've had the Chiefs at home until the last week of the season. And you know, I feel that maybe this season, even though this year there will be at Kansas City for week 18, but you know, this season the Chargers should be playing some meaningful games in December. I mean, I can kind of see this team really, they might not be up at the top, but they're most likely be fighting for those last few spots in the playoff hunt.
Fredo, and I forgot to bring this up to you before, but I'd love to get your thoughts. Again, teams typically for training camp sometimes want to leave where their home is, especially if they're where it's hot, right? And so in Las Vegas, obviously, we know how hot it gets. The Raiders want to, and I believe this will happen. I don't know what kind of negotiation that they have to do with the Chargers and the Rams, but they are going to have their training camp in Costa Mesa, where the Chargers have had their camp. Again, you know the number of fans that are still here, the silver and black. What are your thoughts? And just as someone who's been around the Chargers, the Raiders wanting to have training camp in Costa Mesa, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. I mean, they're whole fans, and I believe they have more fans in Los Angeles than they did up in Oakland, and even now in Vegas and anywhere throughout the country. But the Raiders' home will always be Los Angeles. And, you know, that's just, I doubt they'll ever leave Las Vegas. I mean, I think that will be their permanent home from now on. And, you know, but Los Angeles has a soft spot and a hard spot for the Raiders, because I have a lot of Raider fans that I know. I mean, and it sucks to hear that, you know, they haven't really much won a lot. And it's always the same story. But again, you know, they're also with the new addition with the coach from last season. I mean, I think he's going to really turn some things around for the ball club. But I mean, going down to Costa Mesa, it's only about an hour drive from Los Angeles. I mean, it really depends on traffic and what time of day you're going. But I mean, they're going to fill it up out there. They're really going to fill it out there. And that was a smart move for the Raiders to come down, knowing that, you know, now the Chargers got their amazing facility out here now, Segundo.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a perfect location, like you said. They're not going to leave Las Vegas. They got that, you know, $2 billion Allegiant Stadium there. But it's a perfect spot because why? Because it's a short flight. It's a 45-minute flight from Los Angeles. It's a one-hour flight from the Bay. You can make the drive. And so while they grow that fan base in Las Vegas, they are still going to get a ton of fans coming in from Los Angeles, from the Bay. And again, like, as we know, a lot of opposing teams fans too. Let's complete the schedule real quick for the Chargers. Again, following the bye week, they go on the road to play the Denver Broncos, on the road to play the Cardinals, at home against the Saints, back on the road for Cleveland. Fredo, a lot of road games to begin the season. Your thoughts there? Again, that means, listen, that means that they're going to get more home games towards the end. But your thoughts on the number of road games that they have to start the season?
Yeah, it can be something very difficult that can kind of, you know, get them a little more exhausted, more tired through the, you know, traveling too much in and out, you know, not spending enough time in their beds, in their homes, in their brand new facility they're going to have. But, you know, again, it's going to benefit them later on in the season once, you know, you come around the holiday times, which is maybe they can benefit from that, you know, having those games throughout Thanksgiving weekend and Christmas time as well. But that game they're going to have, I believe, is a Monday Night Football game. Him and his brother on Monday Night Football. Right. That's going to be an amazing game. And that lands on the Monday after Thanksgiving as well. So it's going to be a great kind of turnaround to then, you know, host the Bengals as well, back-to-back weekends. And you also get the Titans as well. So you got the Titans, Bengals, Ravens, three straight home games in the month of November. So that's going to be a very good three-game series there that they can, you know, they got to take advantage. It's going to be a tough battle going against the Baltimore Ravens and against the Bengals. You know, those two teams, they're going to be battling, you know, throughout the conference. But the Titans, not as much. Cleveland, I mean, I don't know what you can say about Cleveland. they beat in Cleveland the past two seasons, one here and one out in Cleveland. But, you know, getting the Buccaneers and the Patriots. So it's going to be pretty crazy and amazing to kind of see what the turnaround is going to look like. But will the Chargers make this playoff this season? It will be tough. It will be tough. I can kind of see them winning nine games, depending how healthy they can stay. I mean, that's always going to be key. How healthy can they stay?
Well, last question for you, and you just touched on it, with Jim Harbaugh being on board. And again, he has historically really changed the culture very quickly. What's a successful season for the Chargers? Again, they did not make the playoffs a year ago. They were below 500. They fired the GM. They fired the coach. Jim Harbaugh's first season, what is a successful season? You mentioned nine wins. If they, would that be a successful year?
No, that would not be a successful year. No, it definitely would not. It might be for him, but not for the city of Los Angeles. I mean, you are expected to win. And of course, Jim Harbaugh, he's coming off a championship. You know, it was a national championship, but he's coming off winning seasons out there, and as well winning when he was out in Northern California with the San Francisco 49ers. So a successful season should be at least a first round win. A first round win in the playoffs should be good enough. Again, trying to stay healthy, trying to see how these receivers are going to turn out to be, two young guys. And, you know, quick, you know, shout out again, Brandon Rice out of USC. Got a chance to cover him last season, see how, you know, he led the team in touchdowns and receiving and yards after the catch. So he can be a very good weapon for Justin Herbert. But again, running back, I think there's going to be an issue with the running back, trying to figure out who's going to go there. But winning 10, 11 games, trying to get into the playoffs, win one playoff game, that should be good enough for the LA Chargers.
I like it, Fredo. You're the best. We will have you back on next week. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
to live and die in LA. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.